Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, we're into the new year now, and we get back to our normal panic and normal life. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to just orient yourself, filling up the Spirit, and know what we're doing here and why we're here. So let's spend a few moments in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we made it through the holidays, made it through Christmas and New Year's. And now, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will guide us through this new year as an assembly of believers. Continue to use this assembly in the many different ways that you have seen fit to do so, in the missionary outreach, in the internet outreach, our youth outreach, and of course, Heavenly Father, our right here, our at-home assembly, and the encouragement of one another, and the opening up of Scripture and studying your Word. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in whose precious name we pray these things. Amen. And let's begin with Psalm, Brian. Last night on television, they had 2 hours today is Elvis Presley's birthday, and they had 2 hours of Elvis Presley and gospel. Just gospel. And he sang that, and that's it. We're going to sing that tomorrow. And I don't think we sounded really like he sounds, but it was okay. It was okay. We got a little work to do. And it was really, really interesting listening to the whole 2 hours. They interviewed executives that just, we do not want you to sing a gospel. This is not what people paid to come for. This is not what we hire, gave you this money to make these albums. We do not. He said, I'm doing it. I am doing a gospel and going to do a gospel album, whether you like it or not. I'm going to do it. And it was really interesting just going through his life. Some nights after a show, he'd be just so wound up, they just spend the whole rest of the night till 6 a.m. just singing, and some nights it was just nothing but gospels, and then he would always end that session with gospel. And what was so unfortunate, you could just see him just get worse looking physically, just down physically as the time went on in his life. But love of the Gospels, and there was one hymn that he had the what was the name of the group that always sang with him? Who? George Harris. Well, he had his group. He said, now, he told the audience, he said, now, they're going to sing. I'm not going to sing. They're going to sing. I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. And it was about the Holy Spirit. And you could just see Elvis was just really taken by it. And I don't know what was going on in his soul, but he had tears in his eyes. It was a powerful hymn. And but it was really interesting, the times and places that he would sing a gospel were fairly well chosen. And when he was in the military in Germany, he would have people over, and they would just sing gospels, and he'd listen to gospels, because it said he reminded him of home and his mother. And so I believe that they had pictures of him just sitting there in his place in Germany and listening to the music. But it was really, really nice. And then after that, they had 1 hour, the Grand Ole Opry celebrating George Jones's 80th birthday. I don't know if y'all even know who George is, but I loved it. George Jones the Possum. So that was really good. I think sometime he kind of dozed off in it, but he just may have been. That's why they call him Possum, because he would just stand there and just this unbelievable voice would come out. But it's just a possum. But I think he played possum a little bit last night. But it was really good. Okay. Now, a couple of things. First of all, you'll look in the back and you'll see a young man with hair, lots of hair. And you may wonder who this guy is, but it's Thomas. And so, Thomas, how you doing? Good. All right. That's a good answer. I like that. That's a standard answer. And doctor's reports are good. Yep. Now, you just started back in school. Going back. How's it been? I didn't get just good. Well, we're in prayer for you. And I know we are in our home just every day. And strength and their ability to handle all of that. And that's just so wonderful. What a miracle of God, people, that he's back in school. If you'd have gone in and seen him in ICU, you just to see him today and back in school, it's a miracle. And we're very thankful and appreciative of that. You might have gotten an email, but for a while we've been praying about a friend of the assembly. And the friend of the assembly is Gail Hess, Tyson Hess's sister. And various reasons, she just wanted her privacy while she fought through this point and what was going on in her life. And Gail's home with the Lord. She went home with the Lord. Was it Thursday night? Monday? Okay, Monday. And we need to just be in prayer for Tyson, the family. And so just it was just our place to pray, and that their pain, and she did not die in pain. She did not die in pain. And so just thank us our prayers. Thoughts go out to you, Tyson, and the family. And the email that was sent out, you can tap into it and get her music. You mentioned a $30,000 violin. I remember on one of the Beverly Hillbillies, they had Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs playing their fiddle, and they had I didn't know him, but world-renowned violinist. And he was very uppity about violin and fiddle. And so he just kind of asked them, he said, what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle? And they said, oh, we make about $400,000 a year. He said, I'm going to learn to play this fiddle. So they can get on and listen to Gail play, right? Okay. And you were going to say something?
That's what I was
going to say. Oh, okay. And, good. So please get on there. And will these take them to other websites? I know there were two on there. Okay. So that'll be good. Okay, let's see now. Just going through some things. How's your brother doing with his hip surgery? Okay. And how's your brother doing with his hole in his stomach that we were in prayer for?
I talked to him yesterday, and he said he's doing great.
Okay.
It's healing itself, so they don't have to do surgery.
Okay. If you remember last Sunday morning, we were told that LT had a hole in his colon, and but it's healed up naturally through the antibiotics. Good. Okay. And so that's good. Are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we should be? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Is it the vertigo or is it her husband? I'm just kidding. All right, well, let's be in prayer. They can get that straightened out. It can really interfere with the days in a person's life. And so, yes, sir. Oh, I thought you did. Yeah, all right. Okay. We'll be in prayer. All right. All week? All right. Okay.
The Jet family, I think, well, those who went to camp this past summer, and Jonathan's working to get those.
Yep.
He's going to see significant challenges of his family and prayer.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. our faithful listener, a member in Houston, Gerald Weber, called and asked that we be in prayer for Bob Alexander. A very good friend, born-again believer, going through just some unbelievable surgeries and hospital time. So please be in prayer for Bob Alexander, that God's will be done in his life. So please be in prayer for him. Any other prayer requests that we might have? Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ and knows how to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, it is occasionally our custom here when we go into this facet of worship to recall the two great spheres of freedom that are involved for this worship. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. To live where we see fit, marry whom we choose, go to the church of our choice or not go at all. To do with our time and our money. And Father, we are so thankful to the military personnel and the police personnel who protect and provide us with this freedom. But Father, we cross this with the great freedom with which we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in this realm of freedom, the spiritual realm, that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom, what to do with our time, our money, whom to marry, where to go to church and why. Father, we are so thankful for the spiritual freedom that is a light to our path. And we're thankful, Father, for the sacrifice of Christ taking our place that we might enjoy this freedom. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.
With a message from God, the angel came down to Galilee's humble Nazareth town. And the message foretold would to Mary unfold. In her heart, God's word had been found. The angels declared the Messiah would come to this earth to be born of a man. You are favored this day, Mary heard Gabriel say. You've been chosen today in God's plan. As the prophet has said, a child will be born, unto man a son will be given. His kingdom will reign, and his joy will remain, and his love will bring peace without end. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. That the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told of his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covered it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and its shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. Calvary did go. His love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loved me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, Judith was singing in my house and dealing with our study this morning. I said, oh, that's perfect. Why don't you sing that tomorrow? And she said, are you crazy? One, I will not have time to work with James Webb. I said, no, you sing it. You just sing it. I don't have time. What do you need time for? You sang it beautifully there. I mean, this is, we're not cutting a record here. This is family. We're family. We're worshiping God together. So she gave in, and so Judith, come and sing for us.
What he failed to say is tomorrow is his birthday. And he said, would you do this for my birthday? And so how do you say no to that? I mean, this is his birthday present.
Jesus, do you know him today?
Thank you. See, that wasn't so bad. Huh? You can give me back my $300. Now, St. Clair, when are you going to sing? No, I don't let those kind of things die down. God's opening up a whole area here. So we'll talk about it. See if you can get ready to sing for us. We've already prayed about it. Oh, love for you to do it, though, sometime. Okay. I thought this special would take at the most 2 Sundays. I thought the New Year's Eve challenge would take 1. But I got it in 2. That wasn't bad. And but I've really enjoyed what we're doing. I've never done this in 37 years in the ministry. And so let's prepare ourselves for the continuation of the study of the chronology of the birth of Jesus Christ. When things happened, what things did not happen. Like 3 kings did not come to see Jesus Christ. Those were not 3 kings. They did not come to him in the stable as the movies and the play show. They came to him in a home. So we have a lot of things we want to clarify about the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the word of prayer as we go into the text. Heavenly Father, there is no greater gift than the gift you gave to us. The gift of your Son and a miraculous birth and a very humbling death. But it is by that death that we have the assurance of eternal life. It is by that death that we have the joy, stability, the peace to live each day. So, Father, pray your Spirit will guide us as we continue in studying the chronology of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now, it's been several weeks. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of this year, we finished up the New Year's Eve challenge, which we started the night before New Year's Eve. And we got one study of the chronology of Christ done. And in that study, well, we got two. We got one, the announcement of the birth of John. Before you can have Jesus Christ on the scene, the forerunner has to come. The forerunner that was prophesied over 400 years before it happened, the birth of the forerunner, not just the birth of the Messiah King, but the birth of the forerunner was prophesied. So we took a time, and all we're doing, we're not spending a year in each one of these. We're just reading the scriptures, noting some things as we read through to clarify some things. And so we have noted the announcement of the birth of John in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. We studied the difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all these things. Let's just get right back to our work this morning. Then we studied or read through the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Okay, you have the birth of the forerunner. Now you can have the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ himself to Mary. To Mary. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Then we have, this morning, we continue. Now we've had the announcement of the birth of John. Then we have the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary. Now, Christmas Sunday, we took up the birth section. But let's finish the whole scenario of the chronology. And the next thing in chronology, announcement of the birth of John, announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary, and the third thing that happened, Mary visits Elizabeth. Now, if you recall, Elizabeth is the mother of John. She is past age, so her pregnancy is a miracle in itself. It's not virgin, But for an older woman who was beyond those years, she became pregnant. So it was a miracle in that respect. And her husband, Zacharias, is not the high priest, but he's a priest. So Mary, upon you recall, by the announcement given to her of the birth of Jesus, that she would be pregnant in her womb, and she asked, how can this be? I've never been with a man. Be by the Holy Spirit. And you remember that Gabriel also told her her cousin Elizabeth was also with child. So the third section in the chronology of the birth of Jesus is Mary visits Elizabeth. Mary visits Elizabeth in Judea. So let's open the scriptures to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's read the verses that deal with Mary visiting Elizabeth. All we're doing is taking up the chronology of the events of the birth of Christ. Okay. Over 400 years, this was prophesied. And it's now coming to bear. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Yeah, verse 39. Now, at this time, Mary rose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah. We're not told where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived. Mary was not instructed to go there. But people, this is something wonderful principle in the Christian life. It's really wonderful to have fellowship with good Christian friends who are like-minded with you. And, I mean, when Mary goes and tells Elizabeth she's pregnant, she's never been with a man, most people would say, yeah, right. But not Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a friend. Elizabeth understands truth. Elizabeth understands what's going on. And so this younger, remember, Mary's only about, it could be anywhere from 13 to 16. So we'll just pick 14. She's just a girl at 14 years old. And here she is pregnant with the Son of God. And she now knows that another woman, her cousin, Elizabeth, an older woman whom she knew well, is pregnant. So she goes to see her. Okay. So when you're uncertain about things, it's nice to have a good Christian friend. Hopefully your husband and wife. But at least a good Christian friend that you can talk with that you know won't judge, won't gossip, just you can talk with. This is really good. Verse 40. And entered the house of Zacharias. Now you remember his name means God remembers. The Lord remembers. It's been 400 years of silence. And now all of a sudden, the first thing that happened was the angel went to Zacharias and said, your wife's going to get pregnant. First time God broke his silence in all those years, as far as understanding Scripture. Okay. And greeted Elizabeth. Now, her name means God of the Covenant. So we have Jehovah remembers, the Lord remembers, and what does he remember? His covenant. That's his wife. Now, verse 41. And it came about, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby, now Elizabeth, who's pregnant, 6 months pregnant, heard Mary's greetings. She just walked in. The baby inside of Elizabeth leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out, this is Elizabeth, with a loud voice and said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Okay, people, every one of these people involved, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, magi, they all know truth. They all know doctrine. They all know prophecy. There's no accident that these were chosen. They didn't immediately say, what are you talking about? To the angel. What in the world are you talking about? No, they understood. They were looking forward to the coming Messiah. And Elizabeth understands. She's put this together. I'm pregnant with John. He's going to be the forerunner of who Mary is carrying. Verse 43. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth knew a great deal of doctrine, and she immediately put a lot of these things together. Her pregnancy, the forerunner of the Messiah, John, and she is encouraged, and she now encourages this young teenager who is pregnant but still a virgin. Now I want you to know what she says here in verse 43. Don't miss it. My Lord. She knows she needs a Savior. Mary knows it. Elizabeth knows it. They know they need a Savior. And she knows what is going on in Mary. That the Messiah is about to be born. I want you to note as we go through these, neither of these women nor their husbands are arrogant, occupied with themselves about all of this. They take it in perspective of God's plan. They feel blessed. I feel blessed that I get to be a pastor teacher. I hope you're blessed at your spiritual gift. We're all blessed in our own ways. And she feels blessed. Verse 44. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby inside of me leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken of to her by the Lord. Now she's talking about Mary. She's talking about Mary. And look at the key word here about what Elizabeth knows. Elizabeth knows what the issue is. What's the issue? Believing. People, it's one thing to know Scripture, it's another thing to believe it, and it's still another thing to live it. And these people know Scripture. But Elizabeth knows what the issue is, and that is that Mary and she believe it. It is by faith. So this this whole scenario is put into great perspective. Now this brings us to the next event in the chronology of the birth of Jesus Christ. It is really part three, but I think you'll see why I want to separate it and make it its own significant point in the list of points of the chronology of Jesus Christ. So, point four in the chronology, the praise by Mary. The praise by Mary. Luke 1, 46 through 56. Now, Mary stayed approximately 3 months with Elizabeth. She may have been there. She got there, Elizabeth's 6 month. So she may have been there when John was born, or she may have left just shortly before. We're not told. But it's in that same time frame that she is there. And as we read Mary's words here, I want you to see one of the reasons this young lady was the one chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. This 14-year-old girl, whatever age, but in that framework, this 14-year-old girl had a great deal of Old Testament prophecy in her soul. Her parents had taught her well, and she listened and learned and believed them. And so she knows a lot of Old Testament prophecy. And she understands it. And like Elizabeth did. Now, this young girl, Mary, was not chosen arbitrarily. She was chosen because she is ready. She is prepared. See, God uses prepared people. And prepared people are those who know the truth. Those who have some understanding of the Word of God in their soul. So this is why she is chosen. In fact, if we had time, we would note that she draws, and we won't take the time, but I just want to let you know, she draws from quotes in the Old Testament from Samuel, 7 or 8 different Psalms, and Genesis. She knows the Old Testament. And that's just in these words that we're going to look at. She uses the Old Testament of drawing from Samuel, Psalms, and different Psalms, and Genesis. This young lady knows Scripture, people. And remember, she's only 14 years old. Not 14. And look how much she knows. She believes it. And now she's seeing it coming true in her life. She's prepared. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, this is her praise, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced." Now, people, here's humility. She exalts the one in her womb as her Lord. That's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. She knows she's carrying the Savior. And she knows she needs a Savior. In verse 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She knows what's going on inside of her. He is not only the deliverer of Israel, people. He's her personal Savior. She knows she needs salvation. I don't care what the heresies that the Roman Catholic Church teaches about this young girl. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she's in need of salvation. Period. She knows it. Scripture verifies it. And she's not afraid to admit it, acknowledge it. In fact, that increases her joy. My Savior of my soul for all eternity is in my womb. So she's a sinner, headed for the eternal lake of fire. And all these wonderful things are going on inside of her, and she is in need of a Savior. Verse 48, "For he has had regard for my humble state." She's poor, and we'll see that in a few moments. "State of his humble state of his bond slave." People, here she's talking about herself. She sees herself as a bond slave of the Lord whom she's carrying. I know Christians that do not see themselves as a slave of Jesus Christ. They recognize Him and believe in Him as their Savior, but they're not His servant. So you got to see yourself in relationship to the Lord. So here's this 14-year-old little girl, and she understands all these issues. I'm a servant. I'm a slave. My parents have taught me about the coming Messiah and how we're going to serve Him. We are here to serve Him. And now I carry Him. "For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Well, we've got, here is the Mighty One and holy. These things are not said out of arrogance, but out of thanksgiving. Her soul exalts. Her spirit rejoices. She will be considered blessed. Great things have been done for her by God. And people, these are things that each one of us should pray all the time, thanking God for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, as we saw in our New Year's special. This should characterize our daily life, to give thanks for the blessings He has given us, starting with our salvation, down to relationships and marriage and friendships, everything that we have, learning the truth of walking by faith in the Spirit. She has called Him Lord. She has called Him God. She has called Him my Savior, and now Mighty One. You don't think this little girl knows some truth? This is powerful. Lord, God, my Savior, Mighty One. She has been told His name is to be Jesus. So we know that. And now she recognizes that the name is holy, sanctified, set apart. Verse 50, "And His mercy," it's His grace in action, "is upon generation after generation toward all those who fear Him, have an awe of Him, believe in Him." And this is people all after generation, this is of all people, not just the Jews. Now, in verse 51, she knows Old Testament history. Again, it was no accident my opinion, this young girl was chosen. She has been taught by her parents, and people, this is responsibility of parents. It's responsibility of a church to teach, but it's responsibility of parents to pass down the truth. It's responsibility of a parent to teach their children how to pray. Children should hear their parents pray. And I'm not talking about down to lay me down to sleep. And I'm not talking about thank you for this food. I'm talking about some serious prayer time. Children need to hear their parents pray. They need to be taught the truth and passed down. This little girl had it in a little area in Nazareth. And she was poor. Verse 50, His mercy is great, is upon every generation after generation toward those who fear Him. Now verse 51, He has done mighty deeds with His arm. And all of this is quotes from the Old Testament, but we're not going to go through that right now. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. She recognizes that He will have authority over nations. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. This Christ knows the thoughts of man. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted others who were humble. People, He's in control of the rise and fall of nations. He's in control of the rise and fall of people. He's in charge. And what He's looking for is faith from the people. Mary knows a great deal of Old Testament truth. Look at verse 53. Verse 53, He has filled the hungry. This is right from the Old Testament. He has filled the hungry with good things. People, here she is, just praising the Lord. She is 14 years old, pregnant, and pregnant not by a man. And she's with her older aunt who is pregnant. And she just stands up and this stuff just comes out. This is powerful. He has filled the hungry with good things. Now, what is the hunger? The hunger here is spiritually. The good things, that's the gospel. Send away a rich, empty, the rich empty-handed. People, God does not accept or recognize people based upon what they do or what they have. Verse 54, He has given help to Israel, His servant. She knows Scripture. She knows that Israel is the servant of God. She knows how God has mercifully dealt with Israel through its history. God has remembered the covenant. Just as she does not deserve being the mother of the Messiah, she knows that Israel does not deserve this great Messiah who is now there. In remembrance of His mercy, she praises God for His faithfulness. Faithful not to her, faithful to His covenant, faithful to His promises. This is what she's thankful. People, this is so unbelievable. The great Assyrian Empire, and we've talked about the city of Nineveh, the great Babylonian Empire with the great city of Babylon, the Philistines and all that they come, they're no longer in history. They're no longer here. They're namesakes in history. That's all they are. The Jews are still here. Israel's still here. And today they have a nation. This is just unbelievable what this woman is putting together, this young girl is putting together. Verse 56, And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. So she came when she was 6 months. And now it's 3 months. So Elizabeth's about ready to have her child. And then returned to her home. Not told if she's there when John was born or not. Wasn't important. It's not important to even know where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived. See, sometimes we're told names of places. That's why I look at them. Those aren't just geography. Those are the reasons. When things given in the Bible, it's for our edification, our understanding. We don't need to know. I could tell you the speculations on where they live. I don't care about speculations. If God wanted us to know, He'd have told us. Just somewhere in the foothills in Judah. So, that's all we need to know. Okay. For the record, Mary is about 3 months pregnant when John is born. And while all this is going on here in wherever Elizabeth is from, in Nazareth and Bethlehem, several hundreds of miles away, there are some Persian magi, Persian astrologers, while all this is going on, they're watching the sky. And they're seeing something foretold of them by Daniel. So there's a lot of drama going on, not just right here. The Magi are studying because Daniel has told them about the star that would prophesy or tell them about the coming of the Messiah of Israel and of the world. So they're getting ready to start their travel from Persia all the way over to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. So there's a lot going on. I don't want you to miss the drama. Okay, the fifth. The fifth event in the chronology of the birth of Christ, the birth of John. The birth of John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The birth of John, I'm going to divide into three parts without making it three different ones. I'm just going to put this all under the birth of John. First, Elizabeth gives birth to John, the herald of the Lord. Secondly, and that's Luke 1, 57 through 66. Remember, the birth of Jesus Christ was given in two verses, but the birth of John, we got a little more information. Okay? Secondly, this is followed by the praise of Zacharias. We have the praise of Mary, and then we're going to have the praise of Zacharias, Luke 1, 67 through 79. And then three, Zacharias will praise or talk about his own son. See, first in his praise, he's going to talk about the Messiah. That takes up a lot of verses. Verses 67 through 75. Then he'll talk about his own son, 76 through 79. It's just powerful what's going on here. All right. First, the birth of John, the herald of Jesus Christ, the forerunner of Christ, Luke 1, 57 through 66. Verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son, as prophesied in the Old Testament, as told her by Gabriel, and here it becomes a reality. Okay, while we have the information, her time had come. People, miracles of God, and this is true of all the miracles, that if we just did a study on miracles, God does not violate His natural order of things. He uses them to insert His miracle. For an example, the pregnancy of Mary, which is a miracle. All right? She is not impregnated by a man, but she is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. She will have to go through the normal 9 months. She will have her bad mornings or good mornings, all these kinds of things. Same thing with Elizabeth. She's an older woman. She was impregnated by her husband, and she is giving birth, but she has to go through. So a miracle in the Bible is just to show God is in control, but He doesn't violate His own natural laws, if you want to word it that way. All right, let's first of all look at the birth of John, 57 through 66 of Luke 1. 57, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord, this is God the Father, had displayed His great grace, a great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. People, it's wonderful to have friends to share your joys. It's wonderful to have friends to share your sorrows without judging, but just share them. All right, 59, and it came about that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, according to the Jewish law, the Old Testament and custom, and they were going to call him Zacharias, after his father. Okay? They are the friends and relatives. Everybody got involved in the giving of names in the Old Testament. I guess today, I don't know. But everybody's got their 2 cents worth. What are we going to name him? Name him after your dad or you or my dad or this or that. Every now and then, I know over the years in the ministry, people, how do we pick a name for our child? I tell them, I say, go to a movie and just sit there and watch all of the credits at the end. And when you see a name that you really like up there on the screen, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's the name I want. See? But most people have various reasons why they name their children. Well, let me let you know something. This is an attack against the declared plan of God by friends and relatives. No, do not name him John. Name him Zacharias. See, they have good intentions. Good intentions often interfere with a person's, God's plan for your life. So you have to be very careful. Verse 60, and his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John, as instructed by Gabriel. Verse 61, and they, the friends and relatives, said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. Let's stay with the tradition here. And they made signs to his, this is John's father, as to what he wanted him called. Now, you remember that Zacharias lost the ability to speak when he argued with Gabriel. Well, apparently, the Bible doesn't specifically say it, but apparently he also lost the ability to hear. It was a hearing and speaking thing, because here they say, and they made signs. So we suppose that he also lost his hearing as well as his speech. But nevertheless, they made signs. What do you want to name him? And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. And they were all astonished. Now remember, he can't hear that his wife Elizabeth said John. That's why they're astonished. Now, if he had been sitting there and she said that, well, he just heard what she said. But he didn't hear that. So that's why they're astonished that he and Elizabeth have the same name in mind. Verse 64. And at once his mouth was opened. The moment that he said his name is John, wrote it down, his mouth was opened. So that it was put upon him because he argued with Gabriel, is now removed. His mouth is opened. His tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. First thing out of his mouth, praise of God. And fear came on all those living around them. We're not told what his praise of God is here. I'm sure he praised him for the birth of the son, the health of his wife, and the fulfillment of the prophecy. And fear came over on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country by Judea, and they didn't even have computers. They didn't even have telephones. But it got around very quickly. Verse 66. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. Okay, so they know something special is going on here as far as this child being born. Okay, Zacharias reveals his intense knowledge of the Old Testament history and prophecy, and he praises the coming Messiah, 67 through 75. And as we saw with Mary, I want you to note the knowledge and the belief of Old Testament prophecy. Remember, this man wasn't chosen by accident either. And as we read through, most of Israel will reject the words of John the Baptist and of Jesus Christ. But here this old priest, he believes it. People, there's just going to be those who believe the truth and those who don't. It's that simple. It is no arbitrary decision that Zacharias and Elizabeth were chosen to be the parents of John. Teach him, prepare him for his mission in life. As we saw with Mary, Zacharias will quote and make reference. Listen to how many books he's going to, in just a very short praise. He will quote, we won't spend time to note him, but I just want you to know, he will quote Psalms, Joel, Samuel, Ezekiel, Micah, and Genesis. You don't think this man knows the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures? And he knows the application of them, the prophecies involved. He's put all of this together. See, you've got to have the knowledge first. That's why we have Bible class just 3 times a week. If I had my way, we'd have it about 6 or 7. But at least 3 times a week. And what do? We study so that you can put these things together as your own life. And we know right off that Zechariah does not start talking about his own son. As important as his own son is to him, I'm sure. I'm sure he's not like any other proud father, especially having no other children. This is his son. But he doesn't start off with this. He starts off by praising the Messiah. This man knows, Zacharias knows everything going on in history. He knows that his son is the forerunner of the promised Messiah, and he is absorbed with the coming Messiah, so he utters these words, verse 67. And his, John's, father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, people, it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I teach that. I go over it and over it. It is so vital before that we know to be filled with the Spirit before praying, before doing anything, before saying anything. It is so vital that we be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Lord God. Right up front, he starts off talking about the Messiah, who's to be born of Mary. Not his own son, but the one that his son will be the forerunner of. For he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, as per the promises. Accomplishes redemption. I like the idea of visiting us, because that's what John said in chapter 1. Jesus Christ came and tabernacled among us. Verse 69. And has raised up a horn of salvation. Horn of salvation, that's a title of the Messiah. The horn of an animal. Think of the horn of a big ram with a big rack on his head. That's two things. That's two things you want to know about his horn. One is it's a weapon. Secondly, it's his beauty. There's just nothing, you don't even have to be a hunter. You can look at a ram with a big, strong rack. Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful. When he has to fight other rams, it's his weapon. Or any enemy. Any other animal becomes his weapon. And this title is used of Jesus Christ, referring to his strength, his power, his ability to defeat, all for our salvation. For us, and has raised up a horn of salvation, title of the Messiah, for us in the house of David, prophesied that the Messiah would be from the house of David, his servant. He knows Messiah must be from the house of David. He knows that both Joseph and Mary are in the line of David. He's got all of this worked out. Verse 70. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, Old Testament, which he knew, so that he knows the Old Testament scripture. When we read the Old Testament prophet, we're not reading words of these men, people. We're reading the Word of God. These prophecies. Alright. Verse 71. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. We studied how the world hates them and us in the Gospel of John 15 through 17. And throughout all the Old Testament, we see how the world hated the Jews. Verse 72, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now, which covenant? The Mosaic covenant? No, not the Mosaic covenant, but the Abrahamic covenant. Look at 73. The oath, with the covenant, verse 72, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father. Not the Mosaic covenant. The great covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. God remembers. Remember, that's this man's name. God remembers. God remembers his covenant. Verse 74. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. People, we have no reason to fear walking in the Spirit, serving the Lord. And it may get tougher in the United States. It's been very pleasant to be a Christian in the history of America. 33% of our Constitution based on the Bible declared right straight out from it. But times are moving now where being a Christian is not good. You're the enemy. You don't believe in homosexuality. You don't believe in this. You don't believe in evolution. You're the enemy. You're the troublemaker, Christian. And we're going to deal with you. These days are coming. Okay? So, verse 74. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. He understands the issue of righteousness before God. Okay, the third part, first part was the birth. Second part was Zechariah's praise of the Messiah. Third part, Zechariah now addresses his own son. Talks about his own son as the forerunner. But again, notice he didn't speak about his own son first. He spoke about the coming Messiah. Now he's going to speak about his own son. Verses 76 through 79. And here he shows that he knows Old Testament. By going this time in these few verses, he will quote from Malachi, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. Not just one. Three different ones he'll throw in. No accident. This man is chosen to be the father of John. Okay, we have three declarations. Three declarations. One, and you, child, speaking to his own son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Secondly, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His way, prophesied in the Old Testament. Three, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation. People, what a great privilege it is to tell others about salvation in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. John the Voice doesn't just have this privilege. You and I have it. You have the privilege of telling anyone, everyone that comes into your path, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The peace and the assurance of eternity that He makes. Verse 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God, God did not have to send His Son, people. This is His mercy. He did not have to do it. We do not earn or deserve it. He's under no obligation by law, by moral principles or anything, to send us His Son. In fact, Satan is banking that He will not, and that's why we all will remain in Satan's kingdom of darkness, headed for the eternal lake of fire. But God, out of His love, something Satan did not understand and does not understand to this day, the love of God that would send His Son into the world to die for lost sinners. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which sunrise, the title of the Messiah, from on high shall visit us. Reference to Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Verse 79, to shine. With which the sunshine, to shine, again Old Testament quote, upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Eternal death. This is the way we all are, the way we enter the world. We sit in darkness in the shadow of death. So, to guide us out of that. Okay? Now, this takes up, one, the announcement of the birth of John to Zacharias, the announcement of Jesus Christ to Mary, Mary visits Elizabeth, and the praise by Mary, and then the birth of John. Okay, now 6, 6, 7, and 8 we did on Christmas morning. Point 6 in the chronology, the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Joseph. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Got to go back and forth on a lot of these. Seventh, Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. And we saw how God controlled events to get them from a little town in Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. Because it had been prophesied He's going to be born in Bethlehem. So God just worked it out where they have to move down to Bethlehem. Luke 2, 1 through 5. And then point 8, the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. So Christmas morning we covered 6, announcement of birth of Jesus Christ to Joseph. Remember, Joseph is the father and the head of the house. In God's view, the man is in the authority. He's head of the house. It's not going to be good that just Mary knows his name should be Jesus and all these things. It's good that the father knows that she is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. She is impregnated. She's carrying the Son of God. You don't have to get rid of her. Remember, he had two choices. He could have gotten rid of her publicly by stoning her, which according to law, here she is betrothed to him, and she's pregnant. Well, obviously, in quotes, it's from another man. So when she went to visit Elizabeth, she was fooling around. So he could have her stoned, or he could have her put away secretly, divorced secretly, and she moves away, according to the law. He didn't want to do either one. He loves this girl. But he didn't want to do it, but he has to. So that night, the angel came to him, we don't know if it was Gabriel or not, came to him and told him the whole story. She's going to be pregnant. She's going to be pregnant with the Son of God. And she is still a virgin. It was by the Holy Spirit. And you're to name this child Jesus. So it was very important to what we studied in the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to Joseph. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And then 7, Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, and Luke 2, 6 and 7. Now we come to the ninth event in the chronology of Jesus Christ, and we've ran our time, and this is a little bit lengthy, so we'll cover 9 and following next Sunday morning, and hopefully we can get it done. The ninth one, just to let you know the next thing that will happen in the chronology, the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. I want you to think about this as we get ready for next Sunday. And if you want to read it, this will be Luke 2, 8 through 20. People, this is astounding. Not to the high priest, not to the scribes, not to the Pharisees, not to the big shots, not to the religious people, to lowly shepherds. What's the point? God's not a respecter of person. And I'm going to show you, these shepherds know doctrine. These people who have the lowest job in society, and I'll show you a verse that shows that. This is the lowest job in society, being a shepherd. It's hard to say what the lowest job in our society is because everybody's so hypersensitive. But when I was a kid, being a garbage man was about as the bottom of the pit. And when we were little kids, I want to be a garbage man. Put all that garbage in there. You don't want to be a garbage man. Have higher standards. Oh, but man, it's really cool. They put this stuff in this big truck and in the truck. It's really cool, Bob. You don't want to be a garbage man. It's the lowest job to be a shepherd. The first announcement that the Son of God has been born are to lowly shepherds. We're going to take a look at how they responded, what they did, and in that respect. So we just have a few more things we need to cover in the chronology of Jesus Christ. Any questions up through the eighth one? Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning and continue the chronology of the birth of Jesus Christ. Just getting everything down in order. And by the way, I'd like to add up how many verses so I could say, do you realize how many verses we covered in one Sunday morning? I mean, man, we covered a lot in one Sunday morning. Don't give me this, we'd never get through one verse. We got through a whole lot of verses. Okay, yeah. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, though our celebration of Christmas is over, it's Christmas every day in our life. That you sent your Son to be born among men, that he might die, taking our place. And Father, we thank you for the record. We don't need it. We believe it. But how wonderful it is to have names, places, all these historical facts to just confirm that God became man. We thank you for the miracles that were performed. We thank you for the showing us how important it is to know Scripture, to know it when things happen in our own lives. This is happening. This is what I must do, what I must not do. These kinds of things. How important doctrine is in our soul, in our lives. We need to study and study the Word of God. Need to know it. Believe it, and then live it. Father, I pray you take these things now, let them become a reality in our soul, all of these events that deal with the birth of Christ, and then lived in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.